my God. The power of Jesus compels you, but I don't want...
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Netflix's The Witcher. We get into Geralt of Rivia, Yennefer of Angerberg, and, you know, the others.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover of Rivia, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick of Rivia.
Of Rivia.
And Nick Glover of Rivia.
Fuck.
Fuck.
And this episode is about The Witcher.
The Witcher.
The Witcher.
Witcher.
Witcher. All right. So if you haven't seen The Witcher on Netflix, it is a... honestly, fucking fantastic fantasy show that is about a video game and a bunch of Polish myths.
It's a video game series based on a series of books and short stories written by a Polish guy based on Eastern European folklore.
Yeah. And the video game series is very popular, especially for its rampant sexuality and your ability to... have sex as a character.
They'd be fucking.
Similar like Dragon Age and Fable and, and other games, Mass Effect, where you get to woo characters and sexuality is very fluid.
It's a lot of RPG elements, but it's also like action-y.
Yeah. The first thing I ever heard about Witcher was that you could fuck on a unicorn. That was like, the first thing I ever...
While you were riding a unicorn?
Yeah, like on a unicorn, you could fuck a girl.
I think it's Yennefer of Angerberg.
It might be Yennefer. But so The Witcher on Netflix, I didn't know anything about the game going in or the mythology.
No, me either.
Other than the unicorn fucking. Nick, what about you?
I hadn't played any of the games, but I was familiar with the memes and... But like anytime there was an article about it on like... Kotaku or Joystick or whatever the fuck, I would you know, skim that.
Sounds
pop culturally familiar.
We're going to spoil the shit out of this show.
Like, for instance, right now we're going to tell you there's no sex on unicorns.
There's not any sex on unicorns. But I will say, it's really a good show, and you should watch it. If you want to listen to us spoil it, I don't think anything's going to be super ruined for you. But I will say one thing, if you haven't watched it yet, this will help you. There are three timelines happening.
Yeah.
And this will help you. This is not a spoiler. This will help you. The first timeline with Geralt of Rivia, the Witcher, the white-haired hot Henry Cavill, that is 70 years.
40 or 50.
That's 40 or 50 before X. And the timeline with Yennefer is like 30 before
70.
X. That's one that's 70 before X. And the timeline with Ciri is 2 weeks before X. And X is the final episode.
Right.
So that will help you a lot. Yennefer's timeline starts 70 years before. Geralt's main timeline starts 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years before. And Ciri's is 2 weeks before. Now go watch the show and then come back and listen to this.
And, you know, I'm going to say, because I've read a few people who are like, it was super confusing. And maybe it was. I was not confused. And there's a point in episode 3 where I turned to Pat and I said, oh, these are three different timelines.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got that, we were like, oh, okay. So, and then you're like, okay, now which one of these is first and which one?
Yes.
And slowly you figured out. And I enjoyed that process of them giving me the hints to figure out which one of these timelines fit where.
Like, I don't need to be spoon-fed with, they don't need to like put the date in the corner or anything like that, especially in like a fantasy timeline. Like, the date is kind of meaningless.
30 years.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But if they had used a different filter or camera style or just some context hint or clue as to when these are taking place, just so you can get it earlier, I think that would be great, because I watched it alone, and I'll admit, like, watching it alone, maybe not giving it my full attention, I picked it up pretty much later, but I picked it up. But then when Molly sat down to watch it and I rewatched it with her, I enjoyed it much more the second time.
Yeah, and he told me what, he asked me if I wanted to know what the timelines were, and I said I did, because I felt like that helped a lot, especially because after the first episode, I was very confused as to why Ciri was running away and there was a war, and like why that war seemed to not be a conversation topic in any other time, all the other stories, like that felt confusing. So I was glad to hear it, but in hindsight, I also would have been able to figure it out. I just think that I personally feel like knowing it going in helps a lot. That said, what did you guys think of Witcher? Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked
it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, there was some kind of lukewarm commentary about it online, but we were like, well, let's give it a shot. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
And we watched it in like two nights.
Yeah.
You know?
Same.
We just ate it up. We thought it was really, I thought it was good.
We watched it twice in like a month.
The core characters are all really enjoyable and really good. Geralt is, you know, the brooding, semi-silent protagonist, badass guy that doesn't have much of a sense of humor, but he does still have something.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, Yennefer, who's the cold magic bitch who will do what it takes to get where she needs to be because of her life.
She has a gigantic chip on her shoulder.
She has a hump, actually.
But not anymore. Not anymore.
She starts out. No, and I actually, it was funny because Nick had seen it and I hadn't, obviously, and we're watching it together. And I'm like, oh, wow. Man, did they actually cast a woman with like kind of like deformities? That's great. And I was like, or is it makeup? And I looked at him and he kind of was like, and I'm like, And then there was the whole like, and now you can be as beautiful as you want. I'm like, oh, it was makeup, which is too bad because like it was a very well done effect.
It was.
And she definitely, Yennefer of Vengerberg. Look forward to seeing lots of babies named Yennefer, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I would think.
Sure.
But she is a deformed, and it seems like she might be like an orphan who's bought by this somebody. And
she's like a quarter elven.
She's half, well, she's the half sister. She's the daughter of the woman that we see in the at the farm where they find her, but she's not the daughter of the dude.
Right.
And so she's got that whole like, oh, you know, the fairy tale thing where your wicked step parent is terrible to you and treats you like help. And then she's swept up by someone who's like, you need a better life. And, you know, I see the spark in you of great power and takes her to be with all the other witch candidates.
First, she accidentally teleports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
it's
kind of discovered that she is magical of some sort.
And it's her whole, I liked her story a lot. It's very, you know, not to be very reductive, but it's very girl power in that there's all these women who are, but the one thing that I didn't like was that it's very girl power up until it's like, oh, now you're becoming a full witch with all your power. So we're going to make you super conventionally hot. What? And then it became kind of nip tuck with the guy who is in charge of these transformations. Who's like, tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I saw some people complaining that like she has all this power, she has all this agency.
Yeah.
She you know she gets what she wants, but the one thing she can't have is that she can't have a child, and now that's all she wants because that's what she can't have.
Yeah,
and it's like the whole Black Widow thing where it's like, she's broken as a woman because she can't make a baby.
My baby parts don't work, and therefore I am not as much as others.
That bugged me too, and I feel like it probably is from the source material, but it's something you probably could have edited out of the source material.
I'm pretty sure in Eastern Europe, you know, like it's prized for women to just like anywhere, right? Like,
So apparently in the books, they make it more clear that the inability to have children probably has more to do with becoming a mage and not with this sort of transformative beautification process.
Right.
It's not like she traded her ability to have babies for a beauty.
Yeah.
And she didn't give a shit about it at first. And I think the one thing that I'll give them is there's the scene where she tries to save that baby and fails.
Yeah.
And when she's first handed the baby, she doesn't give a flying fuck about it.
Right.
And I think that is kind of the thing, you know, that's the moment where she's like, I liked that moment and I don't have, and it's like that realization that she's essentially all alone and that I think
immortal.
I think her desire to have a child comes more from not wanting to be alone.
Yeah, and like a lot of women.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's. I don't think it's a great storyline for a character that's otherwise very strong. But at least they tried to provide some backstory for it that wasn't that was more than just she's a woman and she can't have a baby, so she wants one.
I think there is certainly a bit of it that is also like. Nobody tells her what she can and can't have or what she can and can't do.
Yeah.
And essentially someone else made the decision for her that she can't have a baby. I don't even necessarily think she wants a kid. I think she just wants the ability to have a kid.
I would have liked if they had had a scene with all of the young women who were going to become mages and they were set and they were told, or right when she comes to get her from the farm, if she's like, you know, you need to come be with me, unreasonable power. You won't be able to have children. And her being like, I don't care, you know, at that point. And I think, like, because I liked the fact that when she was like, I want to be beautiful, and they're like, no, they've decided that you don't get that. You didn't get a court appointment. So we're not going to make you beautiful because it doesn't matter. You don't need to be beautiful where you're going. And she was like, no, you're going to do it. And he's like, well, I don't have what I need to make it so it's unpainful. And she's like, I don't
fuck
care.
It. I don't give a shit.
Just do it. He's like, you can't be awake. And she's like, fuck, I can. It's like, that was so badass. And so turning that into like, and now you can't have a baby to me is very frustrating because it was like her being like, I don't care. I'm going to do what it takes. You know? Yeah. That said, I love Yennefer. I think she's a very good foil to Geralt, and I think that her power and her beauty, she's fine. It's, you know, it's good.
Sure.
And I like, but my favorite moment with her,
she can be beautiful if that's what she wants, right? Yeah.
And so my favorite moment is why was it that they decided that the other girl was going to get her court position? I can't remember.
It's because she's elven blooded. And and the court, the country where she's from, where she was going to be their court's wizard, and instead it was going to go to Fringilla.
Fringilla, yeah.
And they were going to send Yennefer to Nilfgaard.
Yeah, and Nilfgaard is like the one that's waging war on Ciri's people.
Nilfgaard are as far as we can tell, they are the bad guys of the series.
Yeah.
And so because Yennefer threw their plans into chaos.
Which is what I love. And she walks in there like a bad bitch, walks right up to the guy who's in charge of the king. Place she was supposed to go.
Yeah.
And is like, oh, hello. Wouldn't you like someone powerful?
Who are you? Yennefer of Vengerberg. Of Vengerberg? But That's our country. Why don't we get her?
She's like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, bends over to pick up a pen off the floor, like sucks a lollipop. You know, like And then Fringilla goes to Nilfgaard,
and
which ends up being a bad thing
because she's not. Because part of what the mages do is keep the peace by guiding and advising the leaders of all these countries. And because there wasn't someone strong like Yennefer to go to Nilfgaard, it was someone who was bought into their religious cult or whatever is going on in Nilfgaard.
Yeah.
Now we have all this other shit over the next 7 years.
And Nilfgaard's got these, you know, religious fanatics, creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, willing to die because they believe in an afterlife, essentially.
Well, their mages are like sacrificing themselves
to
do huge, crazy spells and in the big battle at the end. And they appear to be religious fanatics.
So that's Yennefer of Vengerberg.
Yeah.
We also have, obviously, Geralt of Rivia, who is the eponymous witcher,
the
titular witcher.
he did titillate.
So I saw a thing recently that said Henry Cavill is making straight men get questioning because there's all these tweets from guys who are like, I keep watching The Witcher and all I can think about is like, are there guys that look like Henry Cavill in real life? Just like, where are they?
You know, like, well, I liked it.
He's making me feel stuff in my penis.
You know? So a thing in the games is often Geralt is scantily clad in the games frequently.
Yeah.
He is partial.
He takes a lot of baths.
He's partial to baths.
Yeah.
And straight up in the show, there is a scene where he's like soaking in the tub with his like legs totally splayed, crotch aimed directly at the camera.
Yeah.
Like just like chilling in the tub, having a bath.
I know how it goes.
That's Molly's style
but
too.
But you can look up supercuts of Geralt of Rivia saying fuck.
Yeah, he says it a lot. It's his favorite word. It seems. Might be his favorite word.
Yeah.
But fuck is
there's some incredible fight scenes with him.
Yeah.
Just he's a good character.
So Netflix has been doing like behind the scenes clips and stuff on YouTube, and they do a fight scene analysis, like a breakdown of the first really awesome fight that we see Geralt in, where he's in that town and the wizard's trying to get him to kill that mm-hmm. woman who's a witch.
Right.
And she's trying to get him to kill the wizard. And eventually she has all those dudes attack him in that courtyard.
Yeah.
And then she joins the fight. So that whole fight, Henry Cavill breaks it down and walks you through the entire fight and talks about how for the majority of the fight, he only has a half sword. The rest of the length of the blade is CGI'd in.
Oh.
So that as he's slicing through people, he's just passing the blade past them as if it were going straight through without any resistance.
That's super cool.
And they talk about like the cameras coming in and out of frame and all that. It's a really cool little behind the scenes piece for a really good fight.
The thing I enjoy about Geralt is he's a monster hunter, right? But in almost every instance, he's not killing the monster.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, no, the monster's not the problem.
Yes. The princess who got turned, the blood curse or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to talk to her while she attacks him. And he's trying to calm her down and get her to be back to her normal self. And he wins. I mean, he keeps her out long enough that the sun comes
until
up and it turns her back in or whatever.
The
first
crow of the whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the best parts about Geralt are from Dandelion or Jaskier.
Yeah.
The bard that travels with him.
Toss a coin to you, witcher.
Which has the catchiest song of all time, but also just the fact that he's like singing all these songs and telling all these tales about what they just did in previous episodes.
Yeah.
And it's all bullshit.
And he's and Geralt is just like, oh my god.
I
cannot believe I am saddled with this dude. But he, you know, comes to love him and kind of want him around. And he's mad, he feels bad when he's not there. And I think that's very cool.
He's a fun character, and also he doesn't seem to age very much because he's with Geralt from seemingly pretty early on and is in the show pretty late even and is still kind of
although
a youngish looking dude.
Geralt kind of tells him off pretty late, so I feel like in season two there might have to be that's going to come back
His name translates to dandelion. That is...
Technically, I actually just looked it up. Technically, it's the Polish word for buttercup. But dandelion is what they went with.
It's because buttercup is a very feminine
name it doesn't work as well.
In English, so they can't call him that.
I think my favorite character, though, honestly, is Queen Calanthe, who is Ciri's grandmother, the one who looks like Ariel Leaf.
Looks so much like
looks
Ariel Leaf.
She does. Like Ariel
Leaf. She does. Yeah, that's a good call.
The fighting, drinking, swearing, brawling queen of Sintra, who like shows up covered in blood and is like, why do I? It's like maybe you should go change. And she's like, fuck that. And like drinks ale and just, she's awesome.
And the dude that's been proposing to her over and over and over finally wins her hand in the scene where her daughter is betrothed to the Hedgehog Knight guy. Because he joins her side in the fight in her castle and like has her back and sticks up for
she's like,
shit.
Oh, okay.
You are hot.
It's funny, you know.
And you know, the thing is, it retroactively makes his death super sad.
I know.
Really?
You know, because when you see him die in the beginning, you're like, I don't know this guy. You know, it's like,
I guess they were together. Like,
And then it's like,
Stepdad, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later you're like, oh, that's super sad.
I also love that they're very young. for grandparents that makes sense in a medieval fantasy world.
Sure.
Like
you gotta crank them out.
Exactly. But also, like, you know, if you are of royal heritage, you're getting betrothed and married off when you're young and you're making kids and, you know, all that stuff is happening to you a lot. So it would make sense that your grandma looks like she's 42 years old when you're 16, right? Like it was.
Yeah, she's a great character, but she makes a super bad call. She makes a super bad decision.
Don't give fate the middle finger. Don't do it.
It's like,
That's like the over.
And even though it's like, she's super willful, because it's like when Geralt shows up and says, "Look, I will bring your granddaughter back."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like he has never given you a reason to expect that he would not keep his word.
Yeah. Right.
Never once given you a reason to expect he would not keep his word. It's like, just fucking let him take her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And don't lie to him about it, because he's not a fucking idiot.
Well, and the overall, you know, theme for the first season is don't give fate the middle finger.
Yeah.
Like, fate is a harsh bitch in the show. And, like, when you buck fate, shit goes wrong.
Yennefer, like, bucks fate and therefore sends Fringilla to Nilfgaard. And that fucks it up, because, like, she's actually, turns out, she's a true believer bad bitch who's going to, like, destroy people. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Geralt, for the most part, doesn't fuck fate.
He does resist taking his child's surprise.
He does, but when it comes down to it, he's like, no, I got to do it.
The law of surprise is such a crazy, like,
I know,
idea.
It's such a crazy thing.
I'm going to start invoking that.
Right?
Like, that's what I want.
I love it when the farmer's like, well, I'll give you the law of surprise. Like, no.
Yeah. Next time someone's like, oh, man, thanks for getting my dinner. Can I pay you back? I'll be like, I request the law of surprise.
Tell you what, you can give me that which you have, but you do not know.
Yeah, the next good thing that comes in your life, that's mine.
Yeah. I also
and that's how I got into Juilliard.
Apparently, one of the mages who's she's named in the show, but she doesn't have a very big part, is Triss.
And
Triss is like a big fucking deal in the books and the games. She is one of Geralt's love interests
she's the redhead who shows up in the beginning, right?
That was the princess, the princess that was the monster, the baby that was.
I thought she was.
So she's the one when in the
she
episode
in the game
in the episode where he's the child of incest.
Yeah.
Right. That the mother has been cursed. The mother dies while she's still got the baby inside her, and the baby's born as a monster.
Yeah,
and I forget the name of the monster. And Geralt is trying to save that baby.
That's
the mage.
Okay.
She was in the final battle, and I don't think she died.
She
got seriously injured.
I know her fate because I read a bunch on the in the video game.
You know her fate in the game.
That's true. But she's a big fucking deal in the rest of the story. Supposedly, this would be sometime before Yennefer and Geralt get together or meet with Ciri, but before the last episode of this show, sometime in the years before that, Triss and Geralt have met each other, have traveled together, have fucked a bunch.
Okay.
Like, they've been an item by this point, I'm pretty sure.
Who's the one that shows up in the first episode and is like, I was hired to kill you, or you were hired to, he was hired to kill her, and then when he encounters her, and she's like, oh, they told you to kill me, but don't you know why?
She's gone, though, away. I mean, she's dead by the end of
that
episode.
Was Triss all this time.
No, that's not
Triss. I've heard about Triss in the game, because we made a Witcher board game when I was still in sales. FFG made a board game called The Witcher. So I was familiar with the characters, Triss Marigold and Geralt of Rivia and Yennefer of Engelbert, but like only in this like vague sales.
And we, of course, are not experts on any of this. My understanding is the first season is essentially one of the prequels to the books. So the books, the main series essentially starts shortly after Geralt and Ciri meet each other. So this is all leading up to that point. And then the next seasons, one would presume, start to delve into what the actual book series.
Ciri is a child of destiny and there's something about her. She's a Luke
she clearly
Skywalker
has some
an
powers.
Skywalker. Yeah. And Nilfgaard wants her, even though they are a crazy fucking cult empire, and we don't know why. I know why. yeah, I'm super excited to see more, because it's good fantasy. It's the kind of fantasy I like. And
yeah, we don't know the fate of Yennefer, but we can be fairly certain that she's alive. Yeah. Go ahead. We don't know the fate of Triss, although, again, there seems to be evidence she's alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Other than that, we know that Geralt and Ciri have met. They are together. And the last thing that Ciri says to Geralt is, "Who's Yennefer?" And you're like, "Oh well, great. Yeah, that's yeah. a that's like a, I'm like a, fuck you for any you fucks." it's a good way to end a season, though.
One thing we didn't talk about with Geralt that I really like about him, that this is from the games as well, mm-hmm. is after we watched the show, The Witcher 3 was free on Xbox, and I played like a couple hours of it and put it down.
Yeah.
There's this like private eye, like monster hunter thing with him where it's like he has to know how to undo all these curses.
Sure.
He has to know like in the game, right? You show up at a town that's being plagued by a griffin. And you and another witcher, your mentor, I guess, are like, well, okay, how are we going to take down this griffin? And you have to like find out where its lair is. You have to find corpses of things it's killed. You have to like prepare yourself to fight it.
Yeah.
And the show had all these elements as well, where there's rules about all the supernatural things that are happening. There's a way to undo this curse on this baby. You have to know the curse that was put on.
He's like, "What did you do? You did what?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh shit."
Yeah. And when like the miners kill that other witcher.
Right.
And he's like, You killed him? And it's like, well, yeah, we know a witcher's bad news. And it's just like, fuck. You know, and he doesn't think he's the witcher. He doesn't think he is a witcher. And then he sees the medallion to prove that it is.
Well, but it wasn't the miners that killed. It was the monster killer.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The monster killer.
But he's like going on the hunt to kill a dragon. But the whole reason he's going on that hunt is to stop them from killing the fucking dragon.
Which was a fun twist. Yeah. The whole episode. Yeah. The dwarves are a little weird, right?
Yeah.
Dwarves are a little weird.
Like they're I like that they're all like cursy, sweary, like rough around the edges.
Is that who I'm calling the miners? Is that who I'm thinking of? Dwarves?
No, I think you're thinking about the people in that town with the cursed.
They were all like underground, and like I remember that's where they had him, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong. All right.
But the dwarves are like one of the crews that are going to go kill the dragon.
Yeah.
That are competing for that. And it seems like they cast a bunch of little people for the roles, which.
That's always. Yeah. Like, I never know what to say with that, because it's like on the plus side, like, I mean, those are people who are actors who need roles.
Right.
And like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they're going to do. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's like, it's obvious and played out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
It makes me a little uncomfortable, but not, I don't feel informed enough to like make a decision or speak in any authority.
I liked Ciri a lot. I think that they did a good job. I mean, considering she's literally a damsel in distress, they did a good job of also giving her a girl adventurer kind of thing, where it's like she's going to run away. She's not going to just wait and die. You know, she decides to fuck off into the woods with her friend.
To Elven Neverland.
Yeah, and like she doesn't get scared by the things she sees, or if she does, she like understands that, you know, you can't be brave unless you're scared, and she moves forward. I think it's, and when she... Because she's the one, because her grandmother tells her, Geralt of Rivia, or the Witcher, she says something like...
Go find Geralt.
Go find Geralt of Rivia. Yeah. And so when she finds him, and she's like, no, you need to help me.
Yeah.
And I think that's very cool, because she's young. Mm-hmm. She's like 12. You know, like, that's very prescient for 12 to be... And she's, you know, obviously lost her parents very young, and been raised in that you know, royal castle way where you're sort of not raised, you know.
Also, like, I'm going to point out her parents were lost at sea.
Right.
Yeah.
That's super
ominous.
That's
fantasy four. Your parents are somewhere else.
It's super non-committal.
Like, that's dying between panels and a
car. Lost in wind and space. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
With Ciri and the mage that is not the mage, that's the doppelganger that's come to find her.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretending to be, and I'll laugh every fucking time. Mouse sack.
The guy I kept calling him Mouse Balls because I cannot remember his fucking name. Mouse sack.
And he's still alive, but
I guess.
I think he dies getting copied by the doppelganger. No.
The Nilfgaard dude. Oh, that guy dies. I'm talking about the doppelganger still alive. But the Nilfgaard dude betrayed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's like, what's up with the doppelganger guy?
This is definitely a show where I'm hoping that if they don't do a recap, that I'm going to want to like find a recap on YouTube or just rewatch. I don't think I need to rewatch all the episodes, but I think it would be good to get recapped up on it because so much happened very fast at the end after a lot of what felt like, I don't want to say it felt like set up and make that sound pejorative, but there was a lot that needed to give context to those final two episodes that all happened very quickly.
The last episode is so dense.
That's why I'm saying.
It's like we're watching. I'm like, there's no way they're going to resolve any of this in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah. And
not only didn't they resolve any of it, they like tossed 15 more questions on top.
Yeah, that whole thing where it's like, oh, Yennefer is 70 plus X and Geralt is 50 plus X and Ciri's is 2 weeks plus X to give you that idea of like X is this final episode and it's so fucking important. It's a watershed moment for all three of them.
I hope we get more politics of the world. Like, I want to see more of this world.
Mage
I want to know about more
especially.
All these kingdoms. Well, the mages are basically all fucking dead at this point, aren't they?
I mean, there's a whole slew of them the bunch that basically remain neutral.
But like, sword mage guy betrayed them for Nilfgaard.
Yep.
Which I always want to say Milfgaard.
And Mousesack.
They defend mothers that one would
Nilfgaard
like.
Mouse balls.
all the old cranky dudes, including the first mage we meet, kill all the girls born on a solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Kill all the girls born during an eclipse guy. He's clearly a problem. Because he has a tendency to make all the wrong decisions.
Yeah. I think season two, I'm very excited. It's probably going to come out sometime in 2020 late, is last I heard, but that could change.
Yeah, because it's Netflix and they can do what they want.
It's very exciting and I'm looking forward to it. But it's time for five questions.
Ooh, five questions.
We have five questions from a listener who would prefer we do not use their name.
All right.
That is always an option, by the way, listeners.
Anonymous
listener. If you're
listener.
Like, man, I really want to send in my five questions, but I'm afraid they're going to read my name and out me and maybe someone will hear and they'll know. You never have to worry about that. You can give us a fake name. You can just say you don't want to use your name. We are totally cool with that because we understand what it's like to be an atheist or a non-believer in different areas. So first question is, what's the most beautiful sight you've ever seen?
Wow.
Yeah. What's the most beautiful sight you've ever seen?
Mine's complicated.
Let's hear it.
I was at this was years and years ago. I need to give a little context to this.
You even met me.
Well before. I was at a rave. We were camping. It was like a big music festival in the cornfields of Iowa called Further. Lots of different stages, lots of DJs, lots of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like super late at night. I was up. I had been, I don't know, I think maybe like acid or something. Well, statistically likely.
That'll keep you up.
Yep. And I had to shit so fucking bad. And the porta potties were literally so full, they were overflowing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Not on drugs, disgusting.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was just like uncomfortable and hanging out and waiting and being grumpy about it.
Oh, and when you have to shit,
drugs.
It's like the worst.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
And I want to go out into the cornfield and shit.
Nope.
I'm civilized. I just can't, not my thing.
Yep.
So eventually, like, I step out of the tent to go stretch my legs and walk around and kill time. And as the sun is rising behind this hill, the porta potty truck is driving up the hill in profile. to the porta potties
to empty start, them.
To empty them and yeah. to clean them as the sun is breaking behind them rising. And I was that was the closest thing to a spiritual moment. In my life, maybe. Wow. And I got to be the first one to use a readily clean. It was a magical experience.
I can't believe we have to follow that.
I know.
Sorry,
right?
That's the worst.
Yeah.
For me, it's God. I mean, any moment that I've spent in Yosemite Canyon in Yosemite National Park is just it's the most fucking amazing place I've ever been in my life. And any direction you turn, it's just like, holy shit, that's amazing as well. And so, you know, it's just, it's a place that, you know, again, closest thing I can get to a spiritual experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to experience this again, hopefully in October, but it is the moment during the Twin Cities Marathon and the Twin Cities 10 Mile that I ran last year. When you get up the last hill and you are about to, because the final, like, quarter mile, maybe third of a mile of this race is down the hill toward the Capitol. You run down a long hill and the street is lined with people just fucking screaming for you, just screaming. And you can see the finish line and it's a long way off. Like you can see it for a ways because of the hill, but it's just this insane, beautiful moment after running for 4 hours when you realize that, like, you're actually going to do it and you're actually going to finish and you just have to get a little further, and all the people cheering and shrieking for you and everything. It's just such a good thing. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah.
Those are all very indicative of our personalities.
Right? Yeah.
They really are.
Question two, Democratic primary, who you got? This email was sent a while ago.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I was just noticing our episode for the Democratic field went up this last week, and they were already down to two.
We were so young and naive. Yeah.
I know.
No.
Tulsi Gabbard's still in it.
Oh.
We're down to two. I'm just going to go back to what I said before. It was Elizabeth Warren. It's still Elizabeth Warren. She's not in it. I will vote for who the eventual nominee is and not even be super pissed about it. But I would have liked Elizabeth Warren.
I think all three of us voted for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
I am
at this point
so disappointed to see how many people's second choice after Warren was Biden.
Yeah.
That is a leap that it seems so illogical to me in so many different ways. And it's very frustrating. It's very sad.
The positives I will take from this are the voter turnout in the primaries is higher than it was 4 years ago by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And those people voted for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And he received huge support from the African-American vote.
Yep.
And the billionaire vote.
Yeah, well, the billionaire vote doesn't count for nearly as much.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant dollars.
But, I mean, so... So, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen in November. I don't think anybody does, no matter what they say. But those two things are positive signs that we can at least get the asshole in the office out.
Well,
But it doesn't mean it will happen.
As someone who is presently supporting Sanders...
Yeah.
I look forward to being blamed again in November for Trump's reelection. Like, just because I'm a vocal Sanders person, I'm responsible for that happening.
I voted for Warren. Right now I got Bernie, because I don't understand how anyone can think that if you voted Warren that the next choice is Sanders. That's insane to me.
Biden.
That's insane to me. Sanders is the next closest thing, and his policies are what we need. And it can be very frustrating to have heard a bunch of people just weeks ago say that eliminating student loan debt's impossible because it would take $1.5 trillion, and then literally with a snap of a finger we've got $1.5 trillion that we're going to sink into small businesses for coronavirus. So it's like, you know, it's hard. It's a hard time to be alive. But I think that is a good time to move on to question three.
I hate that question a lot.
Speaking of being alive, at what age will you be content you've lived long enough?
I don't know.
For me, that's 100. I've always wanted to live to 100. It used to be 90 because my great-grandma only lived to 88. Now my grandma's going to be 92. So for me, it's 100. That's the year. That's when I'll be like, you know what? That's good. I'm good. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
I don't know if I can quantify it. Yeah? I think it's more about qualifying.
You want to live forever, though.
I would
live forever.
If you could,
you would, and I would. Wouldn't. Yep, yeah.
I would.
I only would if you were going to. Like, right. If it was like, Molly, you can live forever, that's it. I'd be like, oh, no.
And as we've discussed, if they said, Nick, you can live forever, but Molly can't, I would still take them
off.
Well,
of course you should, because you know that I'd be fine with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick, Tim, what about you?
I pretty much would want to live forever, but my answer is really, when I've reached the point that I physically can't do the things that are important to me.
So, I guess, like running's not important to you.
running's not important to me, but being able to...
I'd be shitty.
I know. But being able to get out and walk. Sure, like, when we were in Texas this last weekend, and we were in the middle of a hill country outside of Austin,
yeah.
and it was right next to this creek, and I got up every morning, and I went for a one-mile walk. And when the road crossed the creek, if there wasn't a no trespassing sign, I'd go walking up the ravine. And if I couldn't do that anymore, that's going to be the point where it's like, okay, I think I'm just about done.
If you can't walk, or if there's no trespassing signs everywhere, and I have permission to kill you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
I heard it too. You all heard it too.
Witness.
All right. Question number four. Dogs or cats?
Oh.
Cats.
Or?
Cats. If it's or cats.
Dogs. Because you can take dogs with you more places than you can take cats. Dogs are more portable than cats.
That is true.
By necessity, you have to take the dogs places because you can't leave them alone like you can with cats. Good old reliable, independent cats.
So I'll point out, Ash Can Pete does not have a cat. He has a dog. He is a traveling hobo.
I just want to point out that
comes with him.
The Egyptians did not worship dogs.
They worship cats, also very stationary people.
What? No.
They stayed in one spot.
They're all over that bitch.
I don't feel the need to justify my choice.
Yeah.
Question five. This one's going to take some thinking. I'm just going to warn
you.
What's the sickest burn you can remember from vilification tennis? And I'll go first. I've had some time to noodle on it. So let's go back to the Renaissance Festival. We're on the stage. Jacob Wetterling's body, and by which I mean bones, have just been discovered.
People might not know who that is. Okay.
Jacob Wetterling is a boy who went missing in the 80s in Minnesota. It was very famous. Those of us who were children at the time, that was like the name that was said, you know, like, you're going to end up like Jacob Wetterling if you don't, you know, come home, if you don't, whatever. It was a very famous unsolved murder. Just a few years ago, the person confessed, found his body, and that happened the weekend that happened, like the day the news broke. Nick, for years, had a Jacob Wetterling joke, and the joke was...
Tim's dick is harder to find than Jacob Wetterling.
Which would get a huge reaction because it's a Minnesota thing and you can't find him. No one could ever find him. So the day this happens and he finds out...
I changed it slightly.
Nope. The day this happens, Nick decides, he's like, I gotta throw the joke. I gotta throw the joke. I mean, it's topical. That's what we do. So he throws the joke and it's a fantastic reaction. And Eric Thompson says in response... No, Nick says, did you say the closure, or was it Thompson back to us?
Eric Thompson's response was, yeah, but unlike
Molly's legs, now we have closure.
Right.
And that was the sickest burn that I can ever remember because the audience was like, oh, from Nick's joke. And it was like, how do we move on? And Eric just seamlessly stepped up and was like, unlike Molly's legs, now we have closure. And that, because it was on me, was a sick fucking burn.
Yeah.
And just so well timed. And because I knew it was improvised. Like if I'd been in the audience, I might not have realized that, but I knew, and it was against me, and that to me was the sickest burn I've ever heard in vilification tennis that I could bring up to mind right now.
It's so hard for me because I've seen every fucking show for 30 years, and like trying to identify a moment. Mm-hmm. But I do remember this was years after 9/11, maybe 5 years after 9/11.
Every good story starts this way.
Yeah, it does. And Butch and George were still playing, and I, when 9/11 happened, I was like, you don't make fucking jokes about 9/11. You can't.
It's hard.
That's for sure. There's just no fucking way.
It's harder than those steel beams.
And George goes up there, It was our final final show of the year.
Of course, the Let's Get Fired show.
Let's Get Fired show. And George comes up and he starts this joke, sex with you is like 9/11. And I was like, oh, fuck. What's about to happen? And he's like, it was completely horrible and I hope nothing like it ever happens again.
Nice.
Which was beautiful.
Yeah.
Everyone go like... Like, was everyone waiting for the punchline? And then when he said it was like...
He did not make fun of 9/11 at all.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And it was brilliant. That's the one I remember.
It's funny because my runner-up that I was trying to decide between was Heather in the Amateur Show.
Oh, boy.
Had the joke, which is, sex with this guy is like 9/11. I was a child when it happened. And again, not making fun of 9/11, very fucked up.
Mine's also an improvised one, but I'm going to like toot my own horn slightly. So we did like a two-show event where we had like a reality show competition thing, Survivor style, with two tribes of vilifiers. Then we whittled it down to just two finalists, and it was me against Eric Thompson. And we were given the option of taking on a partner to battle against each other or to just do it solo. But the catch was if we brought in a partner, we'd have to split the prize money with our partner.
Yeah.
And Eric and I,
and there was genuine prize money for this.
There was, we played for the hat for the show or at least some of it.
It was like all of the ticket the sales. Yeah. Yep.
So, Thompson and I looked at each other and we're like, I don't need anyone. You need anyone? He's like, no. And so we shook hands. Like we're going to do this. We're going to see it through. And it got to the very end, and I was so out of gas. I had no material left. And I was conceding to Eric with an insult because I had nothing. And I said, you know, Eric, you're a good friend, great performer. You're a wonderful director and a close friend. And, you know, just from all of us who love you, I just want to say, Eric, stop fucking kids. And it was like a super heartfelt moment. And then I just kind of like ended it with a little bit of a barb. And I was expecting...
It wasn't even a joke so much as like...
An intervention moment. Yeah. And Tim scored it a point and that won the game. And I was not expecting it to go it that way when I said that. And it was a wonderful
moment.
Yeah, we hugged each other and we took the money and went out to dinner with our wives.
It was great.
Yeah.
Your wife, who took third place, by the way.
Yeah.
Third place.
Yeah. Third place.
That's right. That's right. Because I decided it was stupid for me and Nick to be going up against each other, and that wasn't as dramatic, honestly. And
What's funny is I decided that, too.
I know. That's, I was like, we had a moment where we looked at each other.
I was like, it's going to have to be one of the Glovers that goes now.
It was home game, and I gave a dumb answer, and you looked at me like, good. Like, that was a good, dumb answer.
Because I got to get rid of one of the Glovers, thanks for making it easier.
Yep. All right, thank you so much, anonymous friend and listener and devotee of the show. And I would just like to point out that if you've never sent in 5 questions, they're like way better than you and we like them more. And if you want us to like you, you should send your questions to 5questions@geeksthegod.com.
Because we only have like 2.
We only have like 2. That's actually exactly
2 sets of 5 questions, not 2 questions. Yeah.
And, you know, these are trying times and we're all just struggling to live day to day. And you could do is send us 5 questions about anything.
You're stuck in your home.
We will pretend to be virologists for you.
You're stuck in your home. You can't watch any sporting event because they've all been canceled.
They've all been canceled.
You can't.
I will say I'm a little sad that they actually straight up canceled March Madness because I wanted to hear what it was going to sound like when they played basketball games with no people.
Oh, I was super excited. I wasn't because I hate the sound of basketball games, but the idea of a sporting event without audience was kind of exciting.
Someone was like, they're going to have to put a 5-second delay on, otherwise you're going to hear all the swearing.
I know.
Because you can't be like, you guys have to watch your language while you play this very competitive sport that you spent your whole life learning.
Sure.
You know, like, yeah. Anyway, so those are our thoughts on The Witcher, and we very much want you to tell us what you think. Do us a favor, if you go to Renaissance festivals this year, don't throw coins at people. That's
Jesus fucking Christ.
Not only will you be incredible, incredibly unoriginal, but someone's got to pick that up. And guess what? They're not gonna. So like, just don't. Think of the environment before you toss a fake coin to your Witcher. And instead, toss a real coin to your dregs.
Yeah, you can toss $5 because we learned the fucking song.
Bring five golden Sacagawea dollars and
we'll
throw
take
them at Tim's face.
We'll take them. I will take that.
If you want to then say, toss a coin to your wicker and throw a handful
of coins
at Tim, I am all about it.
Alternatively, if you have money to throw
around.
This is
going to happen to me more than once and I hate you.
You could toss a donation to your Patreon page for Geeks Without God if you wanted to listen to all these episodes early.
If you were a true friend and maybe like an actual mage with beauty and power, you would have donated already and been a Patreon and heard this episode 70 years in the future. Or like a couple weeks, either way.
Whatever.
Thank you so much. Hope you
2 years plus 2 weeks plus X is when you would have heard.
2 weeks plus X is true. If you are at home in a quarantine, we just want you to know, thank you for staying safe and keeping yourself shut away from other people. That could be us right now. We don't know. We record these in the future. So everyone stay safe, be nice to each other, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Toss a coin to your wicker.
Oh, God damn it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Influenza A and B are airborne. You shed them into the air. Yeah, it's fucked.